Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Thank you for your love. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your might. Thank you for your power. And thank you for the word of life that you're giving. That you sent forth your word to the people, and the Bible says the word healed them. We pray therefore at this hour as we go into your word, for your healing power to be released. Those who are feeble, that they may receive strength. Those who are down in their soul may receive joy and be revived. Let your word bring forth, Father, the increase of your spirit in the life of my listeners and everyone that is partaking of this service right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, precious Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to go straight into the word at this moment. We thank God for what he's done for us. We continue with our series, as it were, The Voice of Life. And this part number 2, our text is the same as John chapter 10, from verse 27, The Voice of Life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, amen? And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And I think this is what we have experienced in the life of our sister. No power could pluck her out of the hand of the Lord. Life is from the Lord. As long as you can believe, as long as you can open your heart enough to receive, life comes from God. Hallelujah. There is just no challenge in life. There is just no situation in life that God cannot handle. You first need to understand that, so that your hope can be in God, your trust can be in God at any point in time, no matter the situation. Hallelujah. I want to make you understand that the voice of God carries power, carries life, carries transformation, and brings to you situations, if I may want to say, that are so difficult, life has brought to you just listening to the voice and hearing the voice of God. And I keep emphasizing it for you to understand that there is a place in God where you have this personal relationship with him, that when he speaks to you, there is what I call elevation, a transformation, an upliftment in your life. If only you can hear him talk to you. If only you can listen closely to what he's saying at any point in time. Let me give you a simple story from the book of Matthew chapter 14 from verse 23. Here is Jesus and the disciples. Matthew 14, 23. The Bible says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was here alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Verse 24. Tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, if you want to follow this story, you find that Jesus actually is the one that told the disciples, let's cross over on the other side. And I want to make you understand that the fact that Jesus speaks to you, or you are now a believer, doesn't mean you can't face contrary winds. You are not excluded from issues of life just because you are a Christian. You have to understand that. What God makes provision for is, in the midst of whatever trouble or turbulence that you're going to be facing, there is always a way of escape. Hallelujah. He will always make a way of escape. So don't you ever think, because sometimes the situation becomes so tough, you'll be wondering, where is God? Is there God? Do we still have God? Does God answer prayers? Yes, he answers prayers. Hallelujah. The Bible said the wind was contrary. Don't you forget, It was Jesus actually in the truth said, I told them, let's cross on the other side. But in the midst of that, the wind was contrary to their move. Sometimes life looks contrary, you know, to your expectation, to your belief, to the things you think you are supposed to be experiencing. It comes negative. But don't forget, in the midst of all that, Jesus is still in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 25, and at the fourth watch of the night, Jesus walked unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Hallelujah. But straight away Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And I say the same thing to every one of you facing contrary situation today. Be of good cheer. Jesus is still alive. Amen. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. If it is truly you just talk to me. Let me come. If it is truly you that we are seeing, if it is truly you are the one, just ask me to walk on water. That's a hard request. I want to think so. But understand something. There is nothing too hard for God to do. Hallelujah. It has to do with your conviction. It has to do with your belief. It has to do with your faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it. How many of them were in the boat? But only Peter stood up and said, are you sure you are the one? Let me do the impossible. Because walking on water is an impossible situation. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Let me do the impossible. Show me an impossible situation that can come alive if you are truly the one. That's your faith in God. That's your trust in God. That's your conviction in God. So no matter what is going on, no matter how contrary life seems to be to you now, have this one conviction. You are not perishing. Can I hear an amen? You won't perish. Praise God. And look at number 29. And he said, what did he say? Come. Not so many words. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's all. Now you know this is a difficult thing to do. For a human being to walk on water, it's a difficult thing. It's practically impossible. You're walking on water without sinking. What got Peter to the level where he couldn't sink? One word from who? From Jesus Christ. Just that word, come, release the power to call Peter to be able to walk on water. In other words, the heavy situation get to the point of floating, if I may use the word. He just simply say, come. So the voice of Jesus can elevate you. The voice of Jesus can lift you up. The voice of Jesus can keep you out of damaging and destroying dying situations. Hallelujah. You only say, come. And guess what? When he said, come, thank you, Jesus. It was not everybody in the boat that was able to walk on water. Somebody alone heard the voice. And somebody alone made a request. And that individual alone was the one that walked on water. He wasn't the only one that was in the boat. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's why when the broadcast comes in, when the word comes in, it depends on how you receive it. So God could be speaking to you as an individual. That situation you find yourself that looks contrary, you are coming out of it today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you be the one, bid me to come. And Jesus said, okay, you come. And that's all. No argument, no debate. Peter walked by faith, stepped out. And that is the thing you need to understand. That life is all by faith. Once you hear the voice, that's what the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And Jesus said, come, and that's all that was needed. He was not going to doubt it. He was not going to debate it. He was not going to find out from the rest of the brethren or whoever that was in the boat and said, can I try it? No. When God speaks to you, it's not a dialogue or a debate between you and anybody else. It is strictly for you. Hallelujah. And so, when God said, come, Peter didn't go consulting with the other people. Can I go? Remember, my sheep hear my voice. They know me, and I know them. The voice of a stranger, they will not hear. So can I go? And that's all. He didn't go about asking questions. Can I go? Do you think it's possible? He didn't turn around to the rest of the people. Some of you, God speaks to you. But what you do, you want to analyze it. You want to find out if what God is saying is the truth or not. You want to find out whether it is possible to do what God is saying. You don't live your life like that. You can come up to that level and receive from God what he has in mind for you. Can I hear an amen? If he speaks a word to you, go ahead and do what he asks you to do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Peter was able to do the impossible because he heard God. Not just that, because he heard him, he believed him. That's all. The conviction was there. So your belief in God is what matters. No matter who is preaching, no matter who is talking, if whatever thing someone is saying or a preacher is saying did not resonate in your spirit, you can do anything with it. It can just be words. Hallelujah. It can just be words, but we're talking about when it comes into your spirit and then it settles down and then you cherish it and then you have conviction in it and say, well, this is God talking to me. Right at that moment, your miracle is right on the way. Hallelujah. So Peter was able to perform this wonderful miracle. Why? Because he received that single word from the Lord. Come! Not so many words. Some of you want to hear a lot of words from God before you take action on what he's asking you to do. You're wasting your time. You're delaying your time of your miracles. You're delaying your time that God intends you to move from one season to another season. One word is enough. I said one word is what? Is enough. Hallelujah. You don't need too many words. Even in any course of message you are listening to, there could be one word for you. Take that word. Walk with it. God's own miracle will just begin to manifest on your behalf. Amen. When look at verse 30, the Bible now says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Hallelujah. Here is a man that stepped already by faith. But he was not looking at his circumstance. The Bible said the wind was boisterous. That is to say, some of the troubles you are passing through, they are boasting. They are telling you, you are going to die. You see critical situations, and you begin to look at them in your spirit. They are speaking to you. You are not coming out of this. You are going to die. You are sinking. The thought of sinking came to Peter, and right at that hour, he began to sink. He forgotten the word that says, come. He forgotten the man that he was looking onto or walking towards was still walking on the water. Jesus had not yet stepped into the boats. He was still on the water, and Peter was walking towards him. Are you following what I'm saying now? By faith, he was going toward Jesus. Now, he turned his eyes away and began to look at the wind. Began to look at the storm and the wave. So what's the next thing that happened? He began to sink. You sink when you turn your faith away from who? From Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why in Hebrew 12, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What that means is, Jesus begins your faith and he will also finish it. As long as your faith is resting on him, as long as your eyes is resting on him, as long as your focus is on him, he finished what he began in you. You didn't come to God because you wanted to come to God. For Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father draws him. That is to say, it took God to get you to believe in Jesus, to be a safe person to come into the kingdom. And having had that realization is enough for you that a God who brought you to faith will be able to finish your faith. The supply of God's Spirit regularly comes to you as your faith is on the Lord Jesus. No matter the circumstance, no matter the boisterous situation, stay on with that voice that simply says, come. It was God that called you out of the world. It was God that called you out of your parents' house. Hear what God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12. Come out of father's house, come out of kindred, come out of the country. One word. After that, I will make you a father of many nations. Just come out. Don't look back. Hallelujah.
And you know, at a stage, Abraham was having a difficulty actually trusting what God was saying. And God had to talk to him in a very strong term. Come walk with me. Right? He gave him a strong word. Strong terms. Right? It's like saying, don't doubt what I've spoken to you. Walk with me and be thou perfect. That's what he told him. What that means is, be matured. Be matured in your conviction. Be matured in your faith. Be strong in your conviction that I called you. And me, myself, who called you, can not only sustain you, but will bring to pass everything that I have spoken. Are you following what I'm saying? The voice of the Lord will bring to pass in your life whatever thing God has ordained for your life to be. If only you can listen to that. If only you can hear that. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. John 5, 25. Going to be brief today. John 5, 25. My heart is so glad and rejoicing over Manuela's life, honestly. Because at a stage, honestly, I was saying, God, what is this? What kind of story is this going to be? I mean, it was something else. But I'm so glad today that she is alive. Hallelujah. And if God can do that for her, he will do it for you. In whatever situation you find yourself, God is available. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, there are people that have been to that same hospital that she was taken to, and then they come back. How many of you understand what I'm saying? There are people that have spent that much the Father spent, and yet they are not alive. How many of you understand what I'm saying? So it has to be God. It just has to be God. That's what I'm saying. The best of medicals in the world can fail you if God is not there with you. Amen? Hallelujah. The best of medical situation can fail you. Resources can fail you if God is not there with you. So, don't you think it has to be you? No, it is God. Praise God. Amen. I remember one of our precious minister of God. Where did he pass on? The same Ogara. Precious minister. I don't want to call the name. Right? The money was there. Everything was available. But no way. He was sent there. He never came back the same way. In fact, when I called one of the nurses there, and I said, that person that he just rushed to your hospital is a close brother to me. What is the situation? She simply told me, except for God, this person is not leaving this place the same way. And actually, he never came back. So, for her to get there and back is all God. Amen? That's what I'm saying. Look at John 5, 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall do what? Shall live. The hour is coming and now is. Primarily, this was for the Jews, yes. Relations of the book of Ezekiel 37, yes. That's the historical background to that. But beyond that and above that, no matter the death situation you find yourself right now, if only you can hear the voice, life will be given back to you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The word life is very important to me here. It means zaha in the Greek. And the definition is this: to live, to breathe. Glory to God. So if you are sick to the point where you can't breathe, I mean, if you understand, people can get to the hospital and then they begin to help them to breathe through oxygen. Have you heard that before? But God can cause you to breathe. That is to say, even your tracheas, even your heart, whatever thing that's responsible for your breath, God can give life to it. They that can hear the voice of the Son of God, they shall do what? They shall live. They shall breathe. If your breathing system is not functioning, listening to me right now, I release life to you in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says they shall live. The word live means to live. It means to breathe. It means to be among the living. Interesting. Not life left, not dead. To be among the living. If you can hear the voice, you'll be among the living. Amen. You won't be among the dead. You have to be among the living. How do you come to become the one among the living? By hearing the voice. By listening to what he says, you will be among the living.
Praise the living God.
It means to enjoy a real life. Glory to God. Are you here with me? Hallelujah. To enjoy a real life. Remember, I'm talking about just one word. They that hear the voice of the Son of God, they shall do what? They shall live. It means to enjoy real life. That is, there's a difference between life and real life. There is a life that is real, and there's a life that is not real. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Can you hear what I'm saying? They that can hear the voice shall enjoy what? Real life. Not superficial life. Not artificial life. Not a life that is made up. Real life. Who are those people that I can hear the voice?
Hallelujah.
It means to have your true life and worthy of the name. It means active. It means to be blessed endlessly in the kingdom of God, which is to live.
Praise the Lord.
Are we here? It means to pass from death to life in the manner of the living and the acting of natural people in terms of character living and so on and so forth. But there's a point which I love as far as the definition is concerned. Remember, all this that I'm saying is simple definition of the word live.
They that hear the voice of the Son of God, they shall do what?
They shall live. They that hear shall live. If you can hear, that is to say life come from hearing the voice. That's why I call this man the voice of life. Real life come from hearing the voice.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah. You know, in the course of Bible studies, I'm going to be explaining how you can hear the voice and why and how it's sometimes difficult for you to hear the voice. I'll be treating all of that on Wednesday Bible studies. You can always find time to tune in if you're not going to be fellowship, so that you can understand how. Because in hearing the voice, you will live. In hearing the life, you have life. In hearing the voice, you will enjoy real life.
Amen. Praise God.
It means to have vital power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul. This is what I'm interested in this definition. Life means exerting the power of God upon your soul. Did I hear the voice? There is something that comes to your soul. There is light that comes to your soul. How many of you understand your soul is made up of your emotion, your will, your intellect, and your mind? That's what makes up your soul. Your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Is that okay? And these are the things that make you sick. Sickness most times comes from your soul realm.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah. Go with me to Proverbs 12 verse 25. Proverbs number 12 verse 25. Let me show you something here. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh him stoop, but a good word maketh him glad. Heaviness. Now, this has to do with your thinking, problems around you, pains all over the place. What's the next thing? It makes you stoop. It's like saying, through your soul realm, the way you think, you can get older than your age. You can bend double just because of your soul realm that actually needs healing. Heaviness. Can you give this to me in another translation? Maybe NLT or whatever. Let's see what it says. Or amplify anyone. Worry weighs a person down.
Hallelujah.
And an encouraging word cheers a person up. Did you get that? So the voice of the Lord cheers you up when you are weighed down by worries and difficulties and problems. You don't get older than your age. just because of issues of life. As long as you're a human being, I want to tell you this, you always face the problems of life. They will always be there. But with Jesus on the boat, with Jesus walking towards you, with you hearing the voice of Jesus, what are we saying? Encouraging words. They come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Ability to hear an encouraging word lifts you out of the weights that you are carrying. Those weights you are carrying takes you down, brings you down. They oppresses you. Hallelujah. The Bible says you stoop like an old person, developing emergency waist pain. Amen. Hallelujah. You no longer walking straight. No joy, no smile. People talk to you, you are not even hearing because your heart is not there. You are not even in the midst of the conversation that is taking place because so many thoughts have closed your mind. I tell you something, you are literally dying from the point of your soul. Praise God. Heaviness worries, weighs a person down. Take it from the Amplified, let me see.
Hallelujah.
Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but an encouraging word makes it all glad. Anxiety, worries, heaviness. Think about that. Some of you, literally unknown to you, attract sicknesses by the state of your worriness. You worry too much. The Bible says, cast your cares upon Jesus, for he cared for you. You worry too much. You're literally killing yourself. All you need is just a voice. All you need is just a word from the Lord Jesus. And that takes away all of those pains, all of those worries. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Proverbs 15 verse number 3. Proverbs 15 verse number 3. I was meditating yesterday when I thinking about this. And the Lord just gave me the two scriptures. Like, walk towards this. Let the people know. I don't know how many of you are cut down by worries and oppression of your soul. But I want to assure you, God wants to give you a lifting up. Amen. Proverbs 15 verse number 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Glory to God. So when your heart is weighed down, your spirit is what? Is broken. And if your spirit is broken, you can't connect to God. You can't receive from God. You are literally going unknown to you. Praise God. I so much enjoy something talking to Emmanuel in the midst of the issues. When I call her and say, how are you doing today? I said, Daddy, I'm okay. I said, I know. But just tell me exactly what situation is. He said, we have to trust God. But the first thing she would say is, I'm okay. Daddy, I'm fine. Even in the midst of the fact that the mother was helping her in all of that, what looked like a stroke, he would say, Daddy, I'm fine. Then I would say, no, I need the reality. I know what you're saying. He would say, we need God. Hallelujah. A merry heart. What is key to what I said is her spirit was not broken at any point in time. No matter the condition she finds herself, her spirit was not broken. She was not prepared to give up on life. She was not saying, I am about to die. No, that was never across her mind. That would never come from her tongue. No. That's what the Bible says. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you are fit to eat the fruit thereof. Whichever one you want to eat. To eat is to believe, to receive, and to experience. Hallelujah. Her spirit was not broken. No matter what you're passing through, don't allow the weight of life to break your spirit. When doubt is down, the enemy takes over. Hallelujah. That is why you don't give your time and your time and your time. I keep saying it. So, keeping on thinking and brooding over what is not relevant about life. Anytime, oh, I don't know why life is treating me that way. Oh, I don't know why people don't love me. Oh, I don't know why. I don't know why. That is not going to give you an answer. It goes back to your soul and it breaks down your spirit. No cheerfulness, no happiness. You are never happy. And you think somebody outside of you is responsible. Let me tell you something. You know what the Bible says? He said, he that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city whose wall is broken down. By implication, it is you that can take charge of your spirit and not somebody outside of you. Come on. Did you understand what I said there? Yes. You can be broken down not because of what people do to you. It is because you allow it. So it is you that's in charge of your spirit. Not somebody outside of you. That's why the devil outside of you cannot deal with you except you allow it to come in. For the world says, greater is he that is in you than he that's where? That's in the world. So there's no devil outside of you that can rob you of your life. There is no human being outside of you that can rob you of your life. Nobody around you that can take your joy except you give them your joy. Everything goes back to you. He that have no rule over his spirit is like a city without walls. Whose wall is what? It's broken down. Look at that. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Why is it that some of you are never happy? Because your heart is not merry. Maybe you're thinking of your money. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough food. These are natural things. These are natural things. And they will always be there. How much are you going to spend on feeding today? No, think about that. Even if you spend 20,000 now to make pot of soup, whatever, in the next 4 days, you are going to look for another one. Am I correct? It's there. It's just a circle of life. So, because you couldn't make 20,000 soup today or whatever food you need to prepare to eat today, okay, now you are sad. You are just responsible for your sadness. You are just responsible for your own weakness. And this thing leads to sicknesses and diseases and ailments that continue to make you stoop like an old person, even though you are just 18 years old. Because your heart is not merry. Merriment is healing. There is heavy healing that flows from just being joyful, for just being happy anytime, any moment. Hallelujah. Are you still there with me? You know, the best of films that I watch are actually comedy. Most comedies are what I watch. Why? Because they make me laugh. I just like to be happy. No matter what happens, I just like to be happy. So I take comedies, I laugh and laugh and laugh. Amen? There's healing in being joyful. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. You won't get older than your age when you're always happy. Hallelujah! Are you following what I'm saying here? You won't get older than your age. People look at you every day, you are the same. Why? Because you are happy. Praise God. And that's how Paul would say, rejoice. And I say what? Rejoice. Rejoice is a word. It's a commandment. Why would Paul be telling you that? Because you know that the spirit of joy gives you vitality, revitalizes your life. Amen. Take it from the Amplified. Proverbs 15, chapter 13. And then I'll just show you this word and then we'll close for today. A glad heart makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is what? Is broken. You can get yourself out of sorrow. That's to say you can revive your spirit. Most often, and most importantly, if you can just listen to what God has to say. In fact, in your situation, to your life, a cheerful heart is what you need. No matter the situation, you need cheerfulness. Sometimes in your being cheerful, God sends people to come to your assistance. God sends people to come and rescue you from the situation you find yourself. The Bible tells me, like I said before, no temptation, no trial that has taken you but such that is common to man, 1 Corinthians 10. And the Bible now said, in the midst of the same temptation, God will make a way for escape that you may be able to bear it. That means there is no situation you cannot handle, because he will make a way for you to be able to handle the situation. But we don't allow him to talk to us. We don't allow him, you know, to speak words into our life, words of encouragement to our lives. You see Peter, we saw there. He started looking at situation. He starts sinking. So what's the next thing? He's saying, oh, you don't care that we perish? You don't care that I die? Who told you Jesus didn't care? He's the one that asked you to come. He knew the sea was there. He knew the water was there. But he said, come in the midst of the trouble. Who told you he doesn't care? You took your eyes away from him. And Jesus said, away of little faith. In other words, you can hold on to what I just said. You can hold on to what I promised you. You can hold on to the thing I'm speaking to your life. You are sinking now because you take your mind away. Right now, sorrow has flooded your heart because you're thinking of the storm that is boisterous. When your situation starts boasting for you or to you, let them know you have Jesus who is alive. And one word from him is more than enough. Amen? Praise the living God. Glad that. Okay, thank you from the message. If there's anything there that I can see. Hallelujah. A cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. Hallelujah. And a sad heart makes it hard to get through the day. Oh, praise God. That means your daily situation is so messed up. Why? Because you have a bad heart. You don't have a cheerful heart. So that you wake up in the morning with such a bad spirit. Don't expect anything good to come through the day. That 24 hour is gone when you wake up in the morning with a bad spirit, a bad, you know, worrisome spirit. Amen. No matter, you see, I was in Lagos and ministering last few weeks, and somebody said, I had a dream. I said, what was the dream like? In the midst of the meeting, I had a dream. I said, what was the dream like? And he tried to explain. I ate and all that. I said, you ate yet? So what did you do when you woke up after you ate on the dream? I said, I didn't do anything. I said, why? So, actually, she's not trying to talk to me that she need deliverance. No, you don't need no deliverance. You just take a cup of water, no breakfast. That's all. You ate in the dream, you've taken your breakfast. Go ahead and wait for lunch. Hallelujah. Nothing to be worried about. What dream you ate in the dream, you woke up. Are you not going to be hungry again? That means it means nothing. Praise God. Are you following me? You wake up in the morning with heavy faith. Why? Because you ate in the dream. So you feel somebody has poisoned you. You're deceiving yourself. How many of you understand? Jesus said, no man is able to pluck them where? Out of my hand. No man. No devil is able. No witch is able to pluck you out of the hands of Jesus. So you ate in the dream. Take breakfast. Already done. Maybe you want to take a cup of tea to seal it up. Fine. Or just drink water and just go ahead. And wait for your lunch in the afternoon. Amen. You don't need any bloody deliverance. Deliverance from what? From the food that you ate? You got deliverance. If you want to get deliverance from the food you ate, you go to the toilet and push it out. What else do you want? You feel you were poisoned? Go to the toilet and flush it out. Hallelujah. If you understand who Jesus is, no devil can mess you up with a negative dream. You are just alive. Hallelujah. Say that I hear my voice. They shall do what? They shall live. The life that is given to you is not a compromised life. It's not a life that is debated by anybody. No spirit can debate the life that God has given to you. You are alive forevermore. He gives you eternal life. It is eternal, not temporary. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. A cheerful heart brings what? A smile to your face. You shall be smiling from today. Yeah, I need more smile from every one of you. Hallelujah. Keep a good smile, people. Praise God. No matter what is going on, man, keep a good smile. Why? So that your spirit is not broken. For if your spirit is broken, the enemy will have access into your spirit. Wrong talk, wrong conversations, wrong messages that you listen to. Men who project the devil more than Christ, they will always make your spirit to be broken. Everything you see, something happened recently. I'll share it with my wife and one of my friends, very close friend, did a U-turn on an express road, right? And mistakenly, it's like he didn't watch. Another vehicle came and crushed him. Only God saved him. And the next thing he's thinking, they wanted to kill him to drink his blood. So my wife was saying,
How good is your blood that somebody wants to drink your blood? Praise God.
You were just careless. You were doing a U-turn. You didn't look through. Now you're not blaming the devil. You're not blaming somebody who wants to drink your blood. What's your blood? How precious is your blood? Think about it. Some of you are sick. So, you know, some blood that are full of diseases. Somebody wants to drink that. What does he need your blood for? Praise God. Amen. You want to drink blood? They go to hospital and buy blood to drink. Amen. Some of you are sick. You have a lot of, you know, people have a lot of diseases in their system and somebody wants to drink those things. Now you want to take disease into their lives. Who is prepared for that? Forget it. Nobody is drinking your blood. Hallelujah. And if you have to understand, according to the book of Hebrews as well, 4:12, the Bible said the word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. How many of you remember? It said, piercing through the spirit down to where? To the marrow. Why do you think the word is going to your marrow? Why is it in your marrow? Your marrow is where the blood is formed in your body, right? It's right in your bones. Why do you think God have to go there? Because the spirit is going there to change the kind of blood that you carry from your parents, and you now have the blood of God. Amen? So your blood is precious. Praise the living God. And no man can take that which is precious from you, because he said the life, I mean, if you understand that, Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So I'm giving you life that no man can take. Praise God. Are you listening to me? Let me try and round up for this so that you can go and just smile on the street. Just walking and smiling and let the people know that you find Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke 13, verse number 11. Jesus went to a temple one day. And then she saw this woman stoop, bent double with a spirit of infirmity. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. I have a lot of things I can say on this, but let me just take simple illustration under feet. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, come. Call her to me, do what? Come. Same way he spoke to who? To Peter. What? One word. Every time he wants to do something in your life, he will say, do what? Come. Come, follow me. I will make you what? Fishers of men. Come. It's always come. And that word come has a lot of life in it. If only you can hear that word. Call unto him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity. One word. You are loose, that's all. No drama. No question of, let's cast out the spirit of infirmity. Amen. You are loose. One word, said the woman, free. If you read down the story, you begin to understand that the priest in the temple said, oh, come on, why will you do this on the Sabbath day? Hallelujah. You're not supposed to do this. Now, guess what? The question I need to ask myself is this. This woman has been in this church for this number of years, yet with this spirit of infirmity. Somebody has come in now to set her free from stooping down, from bending low because of this spirit. And then the priest is angry because to him, Jesus violated a day of worship. You know what that means to me? Men love religion more than Christ. They love religion more than life. They want you to suffer as long as you can pay the price regularly. A lot of people who conduct deliverance from you, they don't really want you free, because if you are free, you will not bring money again. Come on now. That's why they keep on telling you how many courses are in your life, so that you keep on paying so much money. That's religion. This one, they'll deliver you from marine spirit. Next week, they'll deliver you from your mother, grandmother spirit. The next day, they'll deliver you from great-grandfather spirit. You always come, and you don't come with empty hands. You always come with something. Do you understand that? That's what religion does. So this woman, they were enjoying her with the spirit of infirmity in the church until Jesus came. The priest never bowed it. Oh, they were looking at her. Very faithful woman. Sick in the church. 18 years she'd been there. Think about how long it was. She'd been in this church for more than 18 years. But can't tell from when. 18 years she'd been in this condition. The priest never did anything to set her free. But I know the woman was giving offering. As long as you can bend double, but you can bring your offering, you are a good Christian, you are a good believer, you are a good worship man.
Hallelujah.
Just keep on coming with all your sicknesses. Keep on coming with all your infirmities, but make sure you put the money on the offering box. That's what I care for. That's what religion does. So they mess you up with all manner of deliverances, condone all manner of deliverances. Jesus simply said, come, you are loose. If you come to Jesus, you are loose. Amen. No matter the situation you are passing through, just responding to his call in your life sets you free. Can I hear an amen? So I'm saying the same thing to you. You listening to me, no matter the condition you are passing through, all you need to hear is the word, come, and then your word, loose. That's all. Come to me, having agreed to come. The next thing is, woman, you are what? You are loose. No more infirmities. No drama. No anything. No going to go and get bottle of oil, go get bottle of handkerchief, whatever the case may be, anything, bottle of water. Nothing. You are loose. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They will hit the very target that God intended to hit. What was the target here? The spirit of infirmity. What did that spirit make this woman to become? Bend double, older than an age. And what does that tell us from what we read in called Proverbs? When you have a spirit that is broken, no cheerfulness, no joy, you are bent double. Can I say something? You end up suffering from the spirit of infirmity unknown to you. Spirit of infirmity was not defined. There was no name given to it. It's simply a spirit of what? Infirmity. So where do you know where you come from? Do you know where you came from? Can you tell me where you came from? But the woman had it. And definition was given to us. You bend double when you don't have cheerfulness where in your heart. When you have a broken spirit, you bend double. And that means you're suffering from the spirit of infirmity unknown to you. Why? Because there's no cheerfulness in your heart. Your heart is not cheerful, no joy. You are always sad because you are thinking of situations around. You don't know that you are sowing seed of infirmity into your life that makes you older than your age. No, come on, people. God wants you to be happy. Hallelujah. He wants you to be joyful. He wants you to be glad. He wants you to rejoice at any time. That's why the Bible said those who are weak and sick and mourning, he will give you the spirit of gladness and joy. He said those who are putting up the spirit of heaviness, you are going to receive this garment of praise. Why is God changing all those things? Because he knows that with those things you die early. But he wants you to live. He came to give you life, and that you might have it more word abundantly. And it comes through the word. How many of you are ready for the word of God? Just one word is all you need. Stand up, everybody. Just one word is all you need. Transformation comes when he speaks a word to your life.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.